people, it's Today FM's Claire Beck here. Before you start your podcast, let me ask you this. Are you wearing your SPF today? I know, Irish weather can be a bit all over the place, but it really doesn't mean you should skip it. Simple's new SPF 50 UV fluid has your back, whether it's sunny, cloudy, or raining cats and dogs. This isn't just any SPF, it's skincare that works double duty. Not only does it protect your skin from UV damage, but it also helps reverse visible signs of sun damage and aging. Think brighter skin, fewer dark spots, and that stunning glowy look we're all after. And the best part? It's super lightweight, so no greasy feeling, no heavy residue, and it even has an invisible finish. So, whether you're out in the sun or dancing in the rain at your favourite festival, Simple SPF 50 UV fluid protects that summer feeling, whatever the weather. And it's available nationwide. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, our next guest has been filming in our seas underwater for about 20 years. And the culmination of that is a documentary on RT Television over the next two Sundays. First one this Sunday at 6:30, Dolphins. Wonders of the Ocean. Ken O'Sullivan, thank you very much for joining us.
All right, Matt, thanks for having me.
20 years is a long time to be filming, isn't it? Look, there's a reason for that, is there?
Yeah, look, you know, we hear Nat Geo and BBC going on about 2 years in production. I suppose, well, I wasn't filming for 20 years continuously. This story begins 20 years ago, and with the solitary dolphin that showed up off the Clare coast. And, you know, this, I suppose 40 years ago, the story really begins, Matt, just to break all the records. We went on a family holiday to England where my aunt and uncle brought us to see captive dolphins in a swimming pool. And we thought this was incredible, you know, a kid up on a dolphin's back. And this was our impression of dolphins. So when an animal showed up in my home place, it was just the most perfect subject.
Indeed. Now, this isn't the famous fungi in Dingle. You're a Kerry man, but that's not the dolphin that you have really followed.
No. So I'm from Clare, slightly confusingly. My father, I spent a lot of time in Kerry. My father was from there. So I'm in the middle of the Shannon. No. This female dolphin showed up off the Clare coast, and Dusty Springfield, whose real name was Mary O'Brien and had a big connection to Clare, asked for her ashes to be scattered from the cliffs of Moher. And literally a few weeks later, this lone female dolphin showed up, and locals called her Dusty.
And you then started following her. How easy is it to find a dolphin and know it's the same dolphin in the waters?
It was probably word of mouth, Matt. Just went around and you know, she went to various places. She wasn't hard to find at the start because she created traffic chaos and the guards were onto her and they were telling people to get rid of her, and because so many people came to see her. But in terms of, you know, that was a stepping stone to going out into the open ocean to find larger pods of dolphins and different species. And, you know, we spent, 150 days over the last couple of years filming them. So, yeah, it's not easy to find them, but you're relying on local knowledge, on fishermen, on reports and weather, etc.
Okay. Tell us about the different types of dolphin that there are, though, because I suppose people might have an idea that there's a single type, transferable type of dolphin, do they?
Yeah, well, you know, my father came from Phoenix Island, and our family had lived there for 250 years as small farmers and fishermen. And look, they knew everything about the shore and the coast and the seasons. But once you went a little bit offshore, everything was a porpoise or a basking shark. And so they didn't, because they didn't have anything to do with these animals. But the reality is we've 8 different species of dolphins in Ireland, including, for example, killer whales and false killer whales, who are technically dolphins. We've got, I don't know, there isn't a reliable census, but there are tens of thousands of dolphins in Ireland, particularly common dolphins. And people are surprised by that, you know. I meet so many Irish people who said, oh, I went to wherever, Iceland, South Africa, whale and dolphin watching. I said, you could have gone to West Cork or Kerry or Clare. So we have a huge abundance. But that's no surprise, because we have fertile temperate waters in Ireland.
But is there a belief that there have been more dolphins come to reside in Irish waters in recent decades because of climate change and the temperature of seawater is changing?
Undoubtedly, Matt. I mean, fishermen who have been at it for decades will tell you they never remember seeing so many. Now, of course, you know, they're focused on fishing rather than dolphins. So we have warming waters due to climate change. Last summer, we had waters off Kerry and Donegal. There were 4 degrees above the norm. What impact does that have? Well, there are fish species that will go north seeking colder water and other ones that will come from the south to follow the warmer water. Now, if that's the species that dolphins or whales are feeding on, that's going to have an impact because that's their food source. So absolutely, climate change has a huge problem. And there are a number of existential threats, not least noise, of course, is a huge problem and interaction with fisheries.
Explain the noise being a huge problem.
So if you've ever been in the sea or put on a pair of goggles or snorkel or something like that, you know that underwater, and particularly in Ireland, you know, you can't see very far. So dolphins have evolved something called echolocation, where they do a click from within their skull and then they listen for the echo that comes back. And based on that, it's absolutely sophisticated. They can build this X-ray type image in their head of what's there. So that might be a reef or something that they want to eat, or me or you in the water. And that's their echolocation. They also use whistles to talk to each other. Very sophisticated again. They even have regional accents. But if you think, if you go onto marinetraffic.com now, there's 60 or 70,000 commercial ships in the ocean, and they're creating huge noise sources, which is fine. Of course, we have to have trade. But when they go to areas, particularly coastal areas where whales and dolphins are, of course, that can mask the communications between these animals. Probably an even greater threat is the military sonar. And we've seen very rare species, pilot whales, which are, again, dolphins, and beaked whales washing up in huge numbers in the last few years, which is undoubtedly down to submarine sonar, military sonar.
And what about the impact of offshore wind farms, to go all a bit Trumpian on this? I think he's been concerned about the whales, but presumably the dolphins, are they affected?
Well, they can be. I mean, we don't have any wind farms on the West Coast yet, I suppose, where they're coming. Most of the population, but they're coming. Look, it's complicated, but it's all achievable. You do your proper environmental impact assessments, and there will always be, everything we do has some level of impact. The thing is to minimise, to mitigate the risks to these animals, to do your construction at times or in areas when the animals are. Look, there are whale and dolphins, scientists and research that can solve this problem. It's a matter of addressing it properly.
You just mentioned about how difficult it is to see in the Irish waters. So how difficult is it to film and to get the type of footage for your two documentaries?
Sure, it's masochistic, really. You know, if you said, you know, if you were a news cameraman and you said, you know, you go outside the door and you can only see for 2 meters because of the fog, you'd kind of go back indoors. But look, it's a privilege to be able to do it. It is difficult, and to do it in a way that doesn't interfere with the animals is even more difficult. But look, you know, they're a great subject matter. I'd be, you know, if I can't make a good story out of dolphins, there's not much hope for me as a filmmaker, you know.
But how clear are the images you're able to get from, and from what distance?
So the best images we got were holding the camera over the side of the boat, because what I found, largely speaking, if you get into the water, that they have no interest on you, that they'll take off, unless, of course, they're feeding. And then when you go about, you know, 20, 30, 40 kilometres offshore, our water starts to get quite clear and blue because we don't have runoff from the land. And we encounter some amazing feeding activity in blue water. And when they're feeding, they don't mind. They're quite happy for me to be there. And, you know, we had some amazing encounters with different species, pilot whales, false killer whales, both of whom are dolphin species. Thousands of Atlantic spotted dolphins feeding, and some pretty terrifying encounters for me.
Why were they terrifying? I mean, are dolphins, again, is this a perception caused by the likes of Fungi and Dusty, that they're friendly and interested in humans and almost want to play with humans?
Yeah, well, Flipper has a lot to answer for, you know. And, you know, the Big Blue movie and all these things where we thought dolphins were cute and cuddly and highly intelligent. I've never been attacked by a shark. I've swam with sharks a lot more than I have with dolphins. I have been attacked by dolphins, as you'll see in the film. But
sorry, in what way do they attack you?
Oh, I can't give the story away wholly now, Matt. But yeah, I was sent a signal by them basically to get out of the water. So two of them basically just gave me a kind of a warning shot across the bows. And there's another pretty terrifying encounter with false killer whales, which are quite like orcas, but about 8 metres. And I just got surrounded by them in the water. You know, they don't, there's no records of any of these animals attacking anybody in the wild, but then everybody isn't doing what I'm doing. They have
maybe
no interest
because
in
there's no records because the people just didn't come back.
Could be, or it's because it's something new. Do you know what I mean? But look, thankfully.
Is that terrifying though?
Well, if 10 or 12 animals that are all about 8 metres long and, you know, 400 kg each. Because I know that if you keep your heart rate down, they can monitor that and just put the big metal housing in front of my body as much as I can. But they came all around me. And
maintain eye contact, is it?
Maintain eye contact. You've no choice, because if you're going to start flapping around, you know, then you're sending the signal that you're prey. But look, they have no interest in me. I think they were just very curious. They probably haven't seen any humans in the water. And as we'll see in the documentary, they were hunting a much bigger prey than me, which they managed to catch. So.
Okay. Obviously, where did you get this? I mean, sorry, you explained where you got the love from, but you had a different career, hadn't you, that you abandoned to go into making documentaries about underwater exploration?
Ash, look, life is too short for one career, Matt. I've had a few at this stage. When I finished college, I studied electronics. I went to New York and played in a rock band for 2.5 years. And clearly we didn't become the next U2. So I worked my formal education for many years in computing in the finance district in London in the city on trading floors, and came back to Ireland then in the early years of the millennium and had my children, and just started, you know, snorkeling and diving in the waters in Ireland. And you know, at that point in time, other than the great Eamon de Butler, nobody had documented the underwater world in Ireland. And so I naively said, oh, sure, I'll get a camera and make a documentary. That can't be too hard. So that's what I've been doing for about 20 years now.
It's on RTE this weekend, and presumably it'll be on the RTE player subsequently as well. 6:30 on Sunday, and then the following Sunday as well. Dolphins, Wonders of the Ocean. Ken O'Sullivan from Sea Fever Productions, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hello, it's Today FM's Claire Beck here. Before you start your podcast, let me ask you this. Are you wearing your SPF today? I know, Irish weather can be a bit all over the place, but it really doesn't mean you should skip it. Simple's new SPF 50 UV fluid has your back, whether it's sunny, cloudy, or raining cats and dogs. This isn't just any SPF. It's skincare that works double duty. Not only does it protect your skin from UV damage, but it also helps reverse visible signs of sun damage and aging. Think brighter skin, fewer dark spots, and that stunning glowy look we're all after. And the best part? It's super lightweight, so no greasy feeling, no heavy residue, and it even has an invisible finish. So, whether you're out in the sun or dancing in the rain at your favourite festival, Simple SPF 50 UV fluid protects that summer feeling, whatever the weather. And it's available nationwide. Now, enjoy your podcast.